You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Virtue and ethics are interconnected concepts that deal with the moral principle and values that guide human behavior. Virtue encompasses positive character traits that contribute to moral excellence and guide ethical behavior. Virtue ethics emphasizes the importance of cultivating these qualities to lead a moral and fulfilling and meaningful life. Right, we are joined on the line to speak about all things virtue. We're just defining it today and understanding more about it. You know, the whole week we're going to be speaking about it, but today we're just doing the basics. There, we are joined on the line by Pastor Lubani. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Zanele?
I am good, Mfundisi. Are you well?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing?
I am good. Boy, now the energy you're coming with, me and you are going to be friends. I love it, Mfundisi. I can see that you are relaxed. You are coming back from the Sabbath.
Definitely refreshed and rejuvenated, ready to do God's work.
Indeed, Mfundisi. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Let us pray. Loving Father, we would like to thank you for bringing us together to meditate upon the teachings of the Bible and what virtue means in our day-to-day life. Mm. And I pray that as we discuss this important topic, your spirit is going to be divinely present with us, so that we're guided from on high. For we pray in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. And Mfundisi, you know, before we get into the more complicated things, you know, that are going to make our minds like really poof, explode. What is virtue? Let's start it there in simplicity, my pastor. If someone is listening, they're like, I get you guys what you're saying, but I still don't know what virtue is, you know. What is virtue?
Virtue in very simple terms, or in very in layman's language, I can say that virtues are actually qualities that reflect the character of God in human beings. Mm-hmm. That's a very simple and straightforward answer. Qualities which we human beings must have to show that God is in control in our day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. But if you ask me to go a little deeper, mm-hmm, if you allow me to do so.
Yes, Mfundisi, go ahead.
I would say that virtue actually belongs to what we call Christian ethics. And in Christian ethics, okay, we try to answer what is morally right for a Christian to do. Mm. Okay? Yes. What is morally right for a Christian to do? But ethics itself, it is a very big field of study in philosophy. Mm. But narrowing it down, we come to Christian ethics. So what are Christians expected to do? What is morally right to be done? Now, within the understanding of morality, in as far as Christians are concerned, mm-hmm, we talk of virtues. And now when we talk of virtues, now we are talking of qualities, yeah, that Christians must have, and these qualities contribute to the flourishing of humanity in general.
Mm. So, Mfundisi, with that definition that you have given us, and I love how you gave us the layman's one, and you know, and you went a bit deeper there. Looking at that, Mfundisi, yes, how does virtue serve as a form of moral excellence? Do we even have a thing called moral excellence, or we are fine? Everything is the same.
Yes, we do have moral excellence as one of the ethical qualities which we must have. Mm. Mind you, before I even begin to talk about moral excellence, let me quickly say that in as far as we Christians are concerned, mm-hmm, we draw our morality, we draw our ethics, we draw our virtues from the character of God. That is the basis. Mm. Because philosophers, you know, people in business, people in ethics, they have their own ethics, they have their own virtues. Mm. But we Christians differ a little bit from our understanding of virtues, because we consider that the most virtuous person who ever lived on earth, mm, is Jesus Christ. And now Jesus Christ says, if you love me, mm, keep my commandments.
Yes.
Okay. When Jesus Christ did that, Jesus Christ gave us a standard. Give us, Jesus Christ, he gave us a criteria in as far as measuring human morality and character is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk of moral excellence truly exists.
Okay.
And for us Christians, it exists as we look at Jesus Christ as our ultimate example. Dear children, I write to you, be imitators of God as dear children. That is Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. So moral excellence, yes, in Christianity do exist, and it can also exist in our world and in our day-to-day life and in our interactions with one another.
When we come looking at this whole issue of virtue, Mpundiswam, do we have types of virtues, or is it just one virtue? It's one. Or do we have quite a number of them? And if there are quite a number of them, can you give us some examples so that our listeners can better understand what we are talking about?
Okay, let me answer that question in this way.
There
are general virtues which we call traditional Christian virtues.
Okay.
And these traditional Christian virtues are virtues like faith, which is trust and confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
Hope, which is a confidence expected in God's promises, that God promised us such and such, and we must live a hopeful life full of confidence, even though we are living in hard times.
Mm.
And another virtue is charity or love, which is selfless, sacrificial love for others.
Mm.
There is also justice, and justice is actually fair and impartial treatment of other people. There is prudence, which is practical wisdom in decision making. There is also temperance, which is moderation, but also self-control itself.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the virtues. And the other one is fortitude. Being courageous, having strength in facing challenging situations and times. And finally, I can talk about humility, which is a realistic assessment of oneself in relation to God and others, just as Paul said that we should regard other people more than ourselves. So these are some of the examples of virtues which we do have.
Looking at these virtues, Mpundiswam, that you are giving us, some of them we get from the Bible, right? And some of them we get from philosophers. Philosophers, yes, such as you are the learned one here. Who's this one? Aristotle. him. So how do we take virtues from philosophers and apply them to us as Christians? Do those virtues that are coming from philosophers apply to us as Christians, or we only take what the Bible says and the Bible only?
First and foremost, I made mention in the first place that if we take the word ethics alone, this is a branch of philosophy, because traditionally philosophy has three branches.
Okay.
The first branch of philosophy answers the question, what is the ultimate reality? And the second branch of philosophy answers the question, what is knowledge? What is the limit of knowledge? What is the extent of knowledge? And the third branch of philosophy answers the question, what is morally right to be done? What is beautiful? Now, as a result of that, there are so many people who have commented about ethics. Actually, some of the early commentators about ethics were philosophers themselves, apart from the fact that biblically we also have ethics. And one of such who commented much about ethics is actually Aristotle himself.
Yeah.
Aristotle actually wrote his ethics, and his ethics are called Nicomachean's ethics.
Okay.
And in this Nicomachean's of ethics, that's where he talked about some virtues. And let me just give you a few examples of virtues as understood by Aristotle.
Yes, please.
Aristotle talked about courage. So Aristotle considered courage to be a central virtue. Just imagine. He actually said that courage is actually in the central point between fear and being overconfident. So he considered courage as a central point. You don't have to be fearful. You also don't have to be overconfident, but you just have to be courageous.
Okay.
Aristotle also talked about temperance. He said that temperance involved moderation and self-control. He also talked about generosity, which is something which Christians talk about, being a person who can freely give without expecting anything in return. He also talked about friendliness. He talked about honesty, truth, kind of like sounding like an Adventist, you see?
Yeah.
He talked about justice. He talked about wisdom. He talked about being magnificent, and being magnificent meaning to say someone needs to be noble. You must always follow a noble course. And he also talked about magnanimity, which is the greatness of the soul, you know? Not being proud, but simply being somebody who carries himself and always strives for excellence. Now, if you look at these examples of virtues which I have mentioned, which were written by, which were, you know, taught by Aristotle, you can easily say that, no, these are Christian virtues.
He copied from us.
You may say so, okay?
Yeah.
That is well understood. But now, let me show you where the difference is.
Okay.
The difference is that the basis of the ethics as Christians, the best is the character of God and his law. Christian ethics and virtues are based on God's character. They are based on God's law. That's the standard. That's where we derive our virtues. That's where we base our virtues. That's where we find our foundation. However, if we look at Aristotle, you're going to find that these people were just using philosophical tools.
Okay.
Tools like assumption, tools like observation, okay? Being able to tell from what is known to what is known, using logic, using reasoning. That was their basis. As a result of that, there are differences.
Okay.
So for example, let me tell you about the difference that is there between philosophy and Christianity in their understanding of the sin problem. Philosophers like Aristotle will tell you that man is willing to do good, but what he lacks is knowledge.
Okay.
So he says, if you teach man, man is willing to do something that is good. Man can be virtuous if you just teach him the virtues. But if you go into the Bible and read the writings of Paul, Paul says, we all know our problem is lack of willingness to do what we know.
Okay, I see.
You see now where the difference is?
Yeah.
So even if we can say that there are some similarities between virtues as understood by philosophers and virtues as we read from the Bible, even though there can be similarities, but we need to know that the basis is different.
You know,
the basis are not the same.
You know, Pundisi, as you were speaking there, leading to my next question, I wrote down on my paper, I was like, philosophy versus religion versus culture, you know, because I'm as we are speaking, I'm getting that, you know, we have virtues from, as Christians, we have virtues that are from the Bible, right? And as a society, we have virtues that are cultural virtues, which may differ, you know, us here in South Africa, not in South Africa, like the Zulus might differ, the Xhosas might differ, those in Malawi and so forth and so on, right? They might differ according to cultures. But then we also have the philosophers that are also coming through, even though some of the things they copied from the Bible, you know. So looking at that, we've already, you know, expatiated on the philosophy. Now, looking at the cultural variations, do we have cultural virtues that are different from cultural virtues? And do these two not have, do they not conflict each other? Because, I mean, we do know culture and religion, sometimes they clash here and there. But when it comes to virtues, or maybe they're the same as philosophers where it's the same thing?
Okay, fine. We need now to see where these three can blend, but we also need to draw the line between philosophy, Christianity, and culture. That's another big subject which I cannot manage to break down. But let me say that there are variations in the understanding or in the conception and emphasis of virtues across different societies and belief systems. Because what we need to understand is that virtues are often seen as desirable qualities or moral standards that guide individuals, but also societies. So different cultures may prioritize certain virtues, while Christianity emphasizes on certain virtues and philosophy emphasizes on certain virtues. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Christianity emphasizes on the virtue of love, kindness, humility, justice, and faith. Okay? But you're going to see that if you, even if you can just go online and just look at the virtues which philosophy emphasizes, it emphasizes things like fortitude. It emphasizes things like courage. Are you seeing the point?
Yeah.
Already the point of emphasis is different. Now, let me come to cultures and their variations. There are certain cultures in this world which prioritize individualism or personal autonomy. And mostly Western cultures are like that. They prioritize individualism and personal autonomy. Okay? While we Christians, no. We cannot live in that kind of a culture, because in as far as Christians are concerned, we emphasize love, we emphasize community, we emphasize fellowship, we emphasize self-sacrifice, not individualism, not personal autonomy. Are you getting the point?
Yes.
So there can be a bit of a clash. However, let me quick to say that there are still certain virtues which run across the board. And you are going to find that some of those virtues do not conflict with the Christian values, with the Christian virtues. At such, in such circumstances, let's all be guided by the fact that biblical virtues need to be the standard.
Yes.
Okay? We need to make sure that what the Bible tells us becomes the guiding line, becomes the framework. So when we find ourselves in the society right here in Africa or wherever we can be, guided by what the Bible says, what Christianity teaches, then we are able to incarcerate ourselves without any problem. If there is any other virtue within our cultures, within our societies, that is in conflict with the biblical virtues, that's when we can stand apart and say, no, I would rather obey God than obey man.
Yes. And I'm loving it, Mpundi Swam, how you're bringing it to biblical virtues should be, in fact, our bedrock. They should be the ones that we go through. Yes, we may read philosophy and philosophers' stuff like that, but at the end of the day, we know that if we go with the biblical ones, we know that scripture is the one that is going to guide us. Because some of those virtues from philosophers, when we ask, where are you getting this from? You know, we might not get an answer.
Yes, that's it. So Christianity emphasizes our approach to virtues and ethics is actually what we call revealed ethics. We call it revealed ethics. Why is it revealed ethics? Each and everything we know about God has been revealed to us.
Yes.
We know about God because God stepped out of eternity and revealed himself to man. Okay, now, since God stepped out of eternity and revealed himself to man, and then gave us his son, and his son says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What we observe as a revealed character in Jesus and the virtues that surrounded his life, that becomes the standard, that becomes the criteria for us to follow in as far as these virtues are concerned.
So Mfundisi, looking at the issue of ethics, I know you did mention that ethics are broad and we all agree in whatever sector we are in, when it comes to ethics, we can speak forever and ever, but just small ones there, Mfundisi, how do virtues guide ethical behavior, bringing it again to us Christians, as much as our ethics are big, yes, but small anyana there, how do now virtues guide our ethical behavior?
First and foremost, let's understand that virtues are a very important guide in as far as ethical behavior is concerned.
Okay.
And I must emphasize that a very good Christian is a virtuous person.
Okay.
A very good Christian is an ethical person. In terms of morality, they always stand tall and they are a paragon of virtue in the society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do they guide us? Point number one, virtues provide us with a moral framework. In other words, the virtues, they are the ones which help us as individuals to navigate ethical dilemmas. And you may ask me to say, Pastor, what is an ethical dilemma? scholars out there say that ethical dilemmas are situations where you are faced with two absolutes. And it's like, you are forced to break one in order to keep one.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. So when you are faced with such situations where you have two issues in front of you and you are kind of, divided, what do I do? These provide a moral framework to say, no. In such situations, you have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we need to remember that in Christianity, we emphasize on being virtuous at all times, no matter how tough the situation may be, and leave the consequences with God.
Yes.
Okay, that's point number one. So these virtues, they provide a moral framework which guide us. Secondly, they set standards for behaviors.
Okay.
What am I trying to say when I say that these virtues set standards for behavior?
Mm.
Here, I'm not talking about people, okay? Because when we read the Bible is descriptive. Mm. The Bible tells us what bad thing Abraham did and what good thing Abraham did. The Bible is descriptive.
Mm.
So you cannot say simply because Abraham lied, I can also lie. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You cannot say simply because Solomon had so many concubines, then I can also have some.
Mm.
The Bible is descriptive. But the same Bible tells us of Christian ethics.
Mm.
And when it tells us about Christian ethics, within it, there are virtues. Those virtues are prescriptive. They are not descriptive.
Mm.
Virtues will tell us this is right, this is wrong. So they set standards for us. At the same time, virtues also encourage consistency. Say, for example, we are not virtuous people. It means that today you say this, tomorrow you say that.
Yes.
You are not consistent. So when individuals adhere to virtues, they are more likely to act in a manner that aligns with their moral principles in different situations and contexts. They do not change.
Mm.
Point number four, virtues also help us to promote personal development.
Mm.
If you are a virtuous person, you grow in your character. You move from grace to grace, from glory to glory.
Mm.
Qualities like empathy, compassion, courage, all these come out clear. You are a person who is candid.
Yeah.
You are not a person who is shaky, a person who is wishy-washy. No. You are a person who is developing and growing at all times. And these virtues also help us in guiding decision-making.
Mm.
In our day-to-day life, we have to make different decisions. But if we are virtuous people, we know what the Bible says about faith, love, and hope, justice, wisdom, and all these things. We are able to make sound decisions.
Yeah.
And we are responsible, but also accountable. I can go on and on, but let me add that. Virtues also foster a positive ethical culture. Now, I'm talking about positive ethical culture simply because we are living in a world where ethical culture is eroded.
Mm.
Because people are not virtuous.
Hey.
There are so many vices that are governing people's lives. So, say for example, in an organization like AWR, if there are people who are not virtuous, it means that you will not have an ethical culture because you're not virtuous.
Yes.
So in an organization, in a church or in a company privately out there, if there are individuals that are virtuous, they contribute to the development of an ethical culture. And even when leaders and employees uphold virtues, they create a work environment where ethical behavior is valued and expected. In such kind of an environment, you can't expect injustices, favoritism or tribalism or racism, because you are a virtuous people. There is an ethical culture in that organization.
Mfundi, this is going to be a very interesting one throughout the whole week as we look at virtues. And today we, in fact, kakadid. Yes, Mfundi, sorry, you know how to kakane? December. You know, sometimes
I
you know,
like the click sound.
Yes, you know, sometimes certain things, you know, you express them, express them better, you know, in our mother tongue. Some point is you cut them, you know, you detangled them a bit there. So thank you so much there, my pastor. We're going to be coming through again tomorrow, where we're going to be looking at more issues regarding virtue. But for today, we're going to end it there. But before we end, Mfundisi, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us and our listeners that as we go on, we may understand and don't lose it, Mfundisi, because this is the bedrock. This is the bedrock of Christianity, so that we may capture it.
Yes. And quickly before I pray, let me just remind our listeners that 1 Corinthians 13:13, the Bible says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all is love. Let's remember these virtues, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful time we've just had. We have introduced this topic of virtues, and we're going to continue digging deeper during the week. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit will teach us so that we can imbibe an ethical culture, a virtuous culture in our families, in our churches, in our organizations, and in our societies. May you allow, Father, that you shine through us when we show that we know who you are and follow you. May you be with us and help us today and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through there and speaking to us. Tomorrow is going to be another lovely one. We have a wait before you go, Pastor. We have saying the lovely discussion on virtue. You see, our listeners are coming through. They are listening, Mfundisi. So tomorrow we're going to be back again.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Indeed. Have yourself a blessed day, Pastor. Amen.
Have a blessed day to Zanele. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are.